This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Last night marked the first televised debate between candidates for North Carolina's U.S. Senate seat. Corporate attorney and Democrat Cal Cunningham joined incumbent Senator Republican Tom Tillis to talk about their approaches to the coronavirus pandemic and systemic racism, among other things. The race is one of the most closely watched in the state and the nation and may have implications for party control of the rest of the 100-seat Senate in Washington. Jeff DeBerry, Capital Bureau Chief at WUNC, host of the WUNC Politics Podcast, and with us now. Welcome back, Jeff.
Good to be with you, Frank.
Tell us a little more about why we are paying attention to this race. Obviously, every Senate race is important in our state, but it is particularly important this year, even nationally, right?
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, a Senate race in Wyoming or California or any number of states is often decided in a primary. We know by virtue of Ed Markey, for example, defeating Joe Kennedy III a couple weeks back in Massachusetts, that Ed Markey is going to get another 6 years in Massachusetts. That's because it's such a blue state, right? This is a squishy state. This is a light red, light blue, purple, dare I call it that state. And this is a tight race. It's Republican incumbent Tom Tillis, who was elected in 2014. He knocked off a Democratic incumbent in Kay Hagan, and he's being challenged by a Democrat. His name's Cal Cunningham. He's a former state senator. And this race, the reason why it's so important from a national perspective is that of the races that are viewed as very much in play, flip-flops, 50-50 races, Colorado and Arizona and Maine, North Carolina is right there with those. It's seen as highly competitive. And a lot of people I've talked to in recent months say that if North Carolina goes red or goes blue, it may very well be the 50th or the 51st state for that party, meaning whether it's Tillis or Cunningham, that could signal that the Republicans or the Democrats will have control of the Senate for the next 2 years.
So a lot at stake last night, the first time these two men have faced off in this race, and about half of the debate last night focused on pandemic-related questions. One point that came up was Tom Tillis's actions on coronavirus relief bills. Bills that Cunningham said he would have opposed. So here is the incumbent Republican Senator Tom Tillis.
And that bill that I voted on last week had additional resources for vaccine research. He said he would vote against it. That bill would actually provide certainty to people who desperately need unemployment that's about to run out in a couple of weeks. We have to actually manage a crisis, and I believe that Cal will look back as the no vote that he would have cast last week as a mistake.
Republican Senator Tom Tillis speaking at a debate last night against Democrat Cal Cunningham, the challenger. And I am here with Jeff DeBerry, WUNC's Capital Bureau Chief. So what are some of the takeaways? Tell us more about that debate and kind of Cunningham's reply to that.
So I think early on, one of the things that the incumbent Tillis was trying to do was really demonstrate this contrast. And he Tillis has tried to portray himself as something of a pragmatist, you know, and any senator is going to try to tout their record and highlight the things that they think they've done well, things they've done for their state, their constituents. And what Tillis really hammered home at a couple of different points last night was that he's done a lot, in his opinion, to help people who have been affected by the pandemic. And he talked about the CARES Act. He talked about the personal protection program. And Cunningham's rationale for not hypothetically supporting those, were he to have been in the Senate, he said he would not have voted for those bills because they didn't do enough. He said they simply didn't provide enough support for people who are out of work in the form of unemployment benefits, and that the latest effort, the latest piece of legislation heard in the U.S. Senate that was for now ultimately blocked by Democrats, Cunningham would not have supported that because it didn't include healthcare provisions to help people who are dealing with COVID-related medical costs. So he said it didn't go far enough, and Tillis positioned himself as saying, you got to do something, and this was the start, and we're hard at work up there. So, you know, the pandemic, there were a lot of offshoots of this larger conversation, as you can imagine. One of the other standout moments, if you will, came when there was a question about a vaccine and efficacy and willingness to accept a vaccine if one were to come earlier this year and, or excuse me, later this year. The debate, as you mentioned, was last night. It was at the WRAL TV studios. David Crabtree was the moderator, and he asked both candidates if they would be comfortable getting a vaccine if one were to come online here in the next few months, and if they would want their family to do it as well. Tillis said 100%. He said he would want the some of the higher risk populations, some of the frontline workers to be inoculated first, but that he would absolutely be on board. Cunningham did not strike the same tone. He sounded a little bit more concerned about the possibility of a vaccine arriving here in short order.
Yes, I would be hesitant, but I'm going to ask a lot of questions. I think that's incumbent on all of us right now. In this environment, with the way we've seen politics intervening in Washington, I mean, if we can almost look no further than Senator Tillis taking over $400,000 from Big Pharma and then even blocking his own party's efforts to reduce the cost of prescription drugs.
That was Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate Cal Cunningham at a debate last night with incumbent Republican Tom Tillis. I'm here with Jeff DeBerry, WNC's Capitol Bureau Chief. So, and the question was framed as if this vaccine were to come out in the next couple of months. Talk more about that answer and how the byplay went from that moment forward.
It was interesting, and it was, from my perspective, perhaps the most notable contrast between the two men last night. And Cunningham pointed out that there have just been a number of times in recent years where science and the best interests of public health, or the scientific interests, as we think about public health, have not fallen in line with the political rhetoric. So that was his position. Tillis responded by calling it irresponsible. He looked into the camera and said, "You just heard a candidate for the North Carolina for the U.S. Senate from North Carolina tell 10 million people that he wouldn't trust a vaccine." Now, a couple of points here. One, there, of course, were not 10 million people. All North Carolinians were not watching that debate last night. But Tillis tried to hammer Cunningham a little bit by saying that it was kind of a reckless position because the FDA has all of these safeguards in place. And Tillis called the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration that would ultimately sign off on a vaccine, he called it the gold standard in the world for dealing with such a vaccine. What is interesting, and I just saw this morning, is something of an offshoot here, but there's a poll that I've seen from the AARP, and this is a recent poll, and they ask the question, what's your confidence in the safety and efficacy of a COVID-19 vaccine if it came out in the next couple of months? And for Democrats, there was only 28% confidence if it were to come out in the next couple of months. If it were next year, Democrats, those Democrats polled, had a 63% confidence in the safety and efficacy of a COVID-19 vaccine. So I was a little bit surprised. Those are standout numbers. That was interesting. So perhaps Cunningham had seen some of those numbers, and perhaps, you know, that's just anecdotal, and it falls in line with what we've heard from some folks of an older generation.
Well, let's take a look at this. It's actually the first of three debates, right? The next one occurs September 22nd, then on October 1st. So what should we look out for in the next two debates?
I think that you're going to hear more about this vaccine position. That would surprise me if we do not. I think because so much time was spent, again, about half of the forum, as you mentioned, on the pandemic and related responses, I think that we're probably going to hear and see a little bit more in the way of racial inequity. And that's another area where there are some stark differences between these two that I think are going to continue to play out. We heard a little bit of that last night. But ultimately, I think that we know what the top line issues are here. We'll hear a little bit more about healthcare. But yeah, two more debates between these two. And there are, it is worth noting, a Libertarian and a Constitution candidate in this race, neither of whom were involved in the debate last night.
Hey, Jeff, I got about a minute and a half left, but there is some breaking news this morning. North Carolina Court of Appeals ruled that the state legislature did have authority in 2018 to place two constitutional amendments on the ballot. Tell us a little more about today's decision and what that means in this moment.
So listeners may remember there were six proposed constitutional amendments on the ballot in 2018. Voters approved four of them. And then in 2019, there were several lawsuits that challenged whether or not they were even legal questions, whether or not they should have moved forward. Initially, a lower court blocked the constitutional amendments from moving forward. And as you mentioned, today, this morning, a split court of appeals ruling basically reinstated for the time being voter ID and a cap on state income tax. Now, just to be clear, voter ID is not going to be implemented for the 2020 election. But what this does is it effectively resurrects a conversation, a legal fight over these two things. I would expect that an appeal to the state Supreme Court is going to happen. And I would think, because we have three state Supreme Court races this fall, that voter ID is going to have a heightened role on that campaign trail. And as we think about those campaigns and those races here in the next 7 weeks.
All right. Jeff Tabiri, Capital Bureau Chief of WUNC and host of the WUNC Politics Podcast. Jeff, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Frank.
As always, links to our reporting, Jeff's reporting at WUNC.org. I'm Frank Stachow.